what are you guys covering in science? You might be covering, you know, animals at that time. So, you know, how can we talk about animal habitats? So how can we use the engineering design process to maybe say, okay, we have this animal, how can we design a habitat for them?
This is Transforming Learning.
All right, welcome back to the show. So if you listened to the previous episode, you heard us talking with Dana Cantu about makerspaces and building a makerspace within her own classroom context. Now this week, we're going to continue the idea. So Amy, tell us about Mike.
So Mike is a STEM tech teacher for K-5 students. And so this is a little bit different than last week. He's going to share his experiences incorporating tech and engineering for all of his K-5 STEM tech classes. So here is Mike. This is Amy, and I am talking today with a teacher, Mike Budziak. And Mike, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
My name is Michael Budziak. I am the kindergarten through five STEM teacher here for two of the buildings, Parsons and Chapman Elementary in the Gibraltar School District. This is my 15th year teaching. I have spent the last 2 years working as a STEM tech teacher, and so we're doing that kindergarten through fifth grade.
And can you share a little bit about what STEM tech looks like here for K-5?
One of the things we have, we have the kids come out an hour a week, and they come through just like art, music, and gym and different things like that. So it is a special program. They come to the classroom here. We kind of have the year set up into working kind of what is STEM. So it goes with what is the science aspect, what is the technology aspect, what is the engineering piece, and what is the mathematics component of it. So we kind of break that up and do those pieces throughout the year and kind of focus on each one as we go.
It's really cool that you guys have this as a elective for all of the kids. How did this come about at the school?
One of the things we started this is almost the third year of the program. We started at mid-year about 2.5 years ago. And we wanted to integrate a little bit more of each one of the core areas. And so that's why, you know, you had teachers that were working, you know, hard in the science area. You had teachers that were working in technology and things like that, incorporating more technology and different things. And we wanted to bring about more of the engineering process in the elementary school. And so that was one of the things we were trying to figure out, okay, how do you do that and kind of fit everything in with the amount of time that teachers have? Nowadays, teachers they're booked with their schedules. Every minute has got something going on. So if we can combine the process, put it all together in one, it's going to make a big difference for the students and for the educational environment.
Yeah, so that really frees up the classroom teachers, that this isn't setting on their shoulders to try and integrate all of this STEM curriculum. Can you share some of the projects that your kids do or some of your favorite activities?
Okay, one of the main focuses that we're looking at, and we'll kind of break it down a little bit, but we're really covering a lot of the engineering design process. So we kind of go through it with all the grade levels, but one of the main things is you start with just asking a question about, you know, what do you see out in the world that you might want to change, or what do you see happening in the world? So the students are, you know, asking, what are problems? What do we need to work on? The next thing they're working on is they're working on what's called the imagine. So they're taking whatever the problem is, and they're trying to come up with, you know, brainstorming ideas. You know, how can we solve this problem, kind of thinking outside the box. After they're doing an imagine piece and kind of drawing out details, kind of like a brainstorming, then we're going to go to what's called the planning phase. So you're going to plan, okay, how do I take my ideas? How do I actually put them together? What kind of materials will I need? You know, drawing diagrams, coming up with what you need to work on those pieces. You know, how can I actually put it in place to make it work? You take the plan and you're working on, the next step is to create something. So how do you take that and test that plan to make sure it works? So you're going to make a prototype and you're going to kind of test that prototype to see that it works. And then it's a continual process. So after you create your prototype, you know, okay, it worked, but what could you do? The next step would be to improve upon it, to make it even better. You know, how could I make small little changes to make something better? So a lot of the things I started with, and, you know, we're kind of keep moving the program as we go along, but using the engineering design process and focusing on it is one of the big things I think that people work with and kind of work on. And so when you look at it from a like a kindergarten through second grade stance, you kind of see what are they working on in their classroom. So I will touch base with some of the teachers and say, okay, you know, what are you guys covering in science? You might be covering, you know, let's see, animals at that time. So, you know, how can we talk about animal habitats? So how can we use the engineering design process to maybe say, okay, we have this animal, how can we design a habitat for them? So there's small little engineering processes that tie back into what the students are already working on. In the upper L, one of the things we have is we take the engineering design process and we kind of take it to the next level, still working with what they're working on in the classroom, but we really want to focus on, okay, kind of streamline, what do you see happening? You know, what can we do to make it better? And so we're really working on the create and the improve to keep them constantly working on improving. You know, the one thing you really have to focus on, I think, when you work into that is looking at, when you get to, I notice kids around like third grade, fourth grade, it's like they're, okay, you know, I got the solution, now I'm done. So one of the things that I've noticed that's made a big change is working on, you know, perseverance and persistence. You know, okay, it's done, but how can you make something better? How can you really make the change so that, you know, you have a better outcome? Okay, the car might go, you know, 10 feet, but how can you redesign it to make sure it goes, you know, 15 feet? You might have met the minimum, but how can you make it better? So I think that's a big thing that people work with at that point.
Yeah, I think that's a struggle for all teachers to get kids to want to continue to improve, continue to revise, and not just, like you said, you know, fix one thing and think that they're done. Mike, can you share with us an example of a lesson or project you've done with your students?
One of the things that we've worked on is we had a fourth grade group working on marble roller coasters. And so the good part about STEM is I'm the kind of person that goes out and just finding materials all over the place. One of the things we talked about with the project is we had a lot of the parents can donate things or things like that. They might have stuff around their house. We had some parents donate some small PVC pipes. We had some foam pipe cleaners that you put around for insulating hot water, cold water. Picked up a few funnels from the local gas stations. Working on a lot of like Christmas wrapping, some of the papers and stuff like that. You can use the tubes from that. You can use toilet paper, tissue tubes or things like that. You can use paper towel tubes. A lot of tape for the project. One of the things the students had to do was they had to work on designing their own roller coaster. So they were given a marble, they were given access to materials, kind of in a makerspace area, and they had to find out, okay, you know, where's our starting point going to be? How high do I need to have it? You know, they were given a broad range for specifics, but they had to make sure that it started at a top point and it went through the course without going over the sides. And they also had to make sure there was enough energy throughout that it would actually go through. So it had to be high enough that it would go all the way to the end. And they had to do trial and error to kind of go through and find out, okay, you know, my marble is getting stuck here in the middle. How can I either raise it a little bit higher beforehand to give it some more energy to kind of get it through that? You know, do I actually put a loop in here or do I kind of turn it to the side so that it keeps going down? We started with the basic idea and then we had kids add an extra challenge piece to it by taking it to the next step. So now you have a roller coaster that, you know, it takes maybe 3 or 4 seconds the marble to get from the top to the bottom. Now what you want to do is how can you have it where it takes 5 seconds or 10 seconds or 15 seconds? So you need to find a way somewhere in there to slow it down, but not slow it down to the point where you lose all your energy and your momentum. So the students really had to kind of redesign their project. And that's a lot of the things we do is redesigning how can you make things better.
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of critical skills in there of teamwork and problem solving and creating prototypes and recreating that. Mike, if a teacher wants to start incorporating some of these STEM lessons into their classroom, what advice do you have for them or some resources and go-to materials for them?
One of the things I found was that A lot of the materials and resources you can find around the area, find around the house. I'm a person that repurposes a lot of different things. And so, you know, as I was mentioning, you know, talking about having parents send in different things. One of the main things that I like to do with, I played with Legos a lot as a kid. And there's a lot of design ideas that the kids can use and, you know, just basic, you can get just bins of Legos and have the parents send those in and have some of the younger students work on, you know, okay, well, today you're designing a structure for, you know, this object, or you're designing a bridge that holds so much weight. And so, like, you have basic Legos for that. One of the things I've done is a lot of repurposing on with our one-to-one technology initiative. When we've had students getting Chromebooks and iPads and things like that, we had a lot of boxes left over. So with some of the kindergartners, first graders, they've been making structures with those. So I just tape them up, you know, let the kids design, let the kids build with it. It doesn't have to be anything expensive to start with. I had a day where we went through a whole bunch of just styrofoam packing materials. You know, okay, what can we reuse this for? How can we use it as an insulator? Or how can we use it for something else? A lot of the STEM things go into just trying things out, kind of working with them. I would really suggest getting into, when you look at some of the technology pieces, starting kids into some coding. Starting kids using maybe code.org, which is a free resource, great resource. We use that a lot throughout. Getting into Codable, getting into Tinker. You can find them both online. They're going to be trial versions to start with, but it's a great place to get kids to find out, okay, how am I doing my coding for sequencing? You know, what am I doing next? How can I get into a computer coding piece? And you'll be amazed, the students, even at the youngest grades, pick up on a lot of the coding things very easily. They really enjoy it. You know, it's engaging for them. It's something that, you know, I never had the opportunity growing up to kind of get into because it wasn't there. But now the kids really have that, and it's a really engaging thing for them. I think they really appreciate that, and they have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun. So, Mike, if teachers want to connect with you, how could they reach out to you?
The biggest thing is through email, and I can give you that. That is budziam at gibdist, gibdist.net.
Well, thank you for talking with me today. So after talking with Mike, I really like how he lays out the design thinking process that he uses with his students.
Yeah, I appreciated that and immediately thought of an episode that we did. This would have been back in episode 55, talking about PBL and design thinking. And it was Jeff who mentioned the connection. The big piece is empathy. And so as Mike was talking about having his students going out and they're looking for these problems and trying to identify some of those things, it immediately sparks this idea of learning to begin with empathy. And that starts the process, whether for a STEM makerspace classroom or any teacher in a PBL kind of environment.
And if you're interested in learning more about this, a great book is called Launch. It's by John Spencer and AJ Giuliani. And this outlines using the design thinking process in the classroom. You can also reach out to one of us at cbdconsulting.com/elevateedu.
Thanks again for listening. If you haven't yet deduced, at CBD, we believe the best kind of professional growth comes from conversations with other professionals. So we have devoted ourselves to ensuring any educator anywhere can have that opportunity. Our virtual coaching service guarantees that. Check us out on cbdconsulting.com/elevateedu. You can share thoughts with just an email or quick text, or dive right into a conversation by phone or video chat. We look forward to hearing from you.